Gospel according to Luke chapter 5, verse 11. There we read, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus, becoming a follower of Christ means that there are many things to be learned. There are many lessons that the Lord needs to teach us if we are to become good and faithful disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know about trust. We need to know about obedience. We need to know about our own weakness. We need to know about the strength that the Lord is able to give. Because in following the Lord Jesus, being His disciple, we will be tried and tested, and we will know in those times of trial and testing just how weak we really are. And in this passage of Scripture, Simon Peter and those that are called his partners have been called to be followers of the Lord Jesus. And at that place where the Lord called them, at the place where they forsook all and followed him, they learned many lessons that day. They learned about themselves. Simon Peter in particular learned about himself. They also learned much about the Lord Jesus. What was it that had brought the people to the Lake of Gennesaret that day? Well, we are told there in the opening verse, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the Lake of Gennesaret. So we're told that the people gathered by the Lake of Gennesaret that day, one, to hear the Word of God. That was the reason why they had assembled themselves there. The Lord Jesus was there, and they knew that from the lips of Christ they would hear the Word of God. That's what had attracted them. Dear child of God, may that be the case, always be the case with each one of us. And when we go up to the house of the Lord to meet with the Lord Jesus, may we always go to the house of God to hear the Word of God. I have no doubt that there were those mingled in that congregation that day at the Lake of Gennesaret that perhaps had not gone there to hear the Word, but had merely gone out of curiosity, or perhaps gone to see the Lord work a miracle or see some sign from the Lord. Perhaps some have gone even to be entertained. The Lord's brethren in the days of their unbelief had exhorted the Lord Jesus to go and perform some miracle, because the multitudes were gathering and they wanted to hear the Lord, they wanted to see the Lord, and his brethren exhorted the Lord to go and work some miracle. You can see what was in their minds and how they were thinking. They were wanting the Lord Jesus to go and work some miracle just merely to entertain the people. That's how they were thinking in the days of their flesh, in the days prior to their conversion. And how sad it is today that many think the same way. They think that God's house is an entertainment center. It's a social center. as a place to entertain the people, to give them something to make sure they'll come back again. It's like Disney World. To ensure that people return to Disney World, they have to come out with a new attraction every year. They have to come up with something new. It's like the entertainers of this world. They have to be as outrageous as they possibly can be. And when people have got used to that, then they come up with some new gimmick. The sad thing is, that thinking, that philosophy has crept into the church today. And they have abandoned the preaching of the word. And they've replaced it with entertainment. Well, the people that gathered in the main, the people that gathered that day at the Lake of Gennesaret, were there to hear the word of God. Because they knew that where the Lord Jesus was, whether he was in the house, for you remember he would enter a house, a certain house, and the people brought that man who was sick of the palsy. And the people had gathered in that house, what for? We're told to hear the word of the Lord. And so whether the Lord is ministering in a house or in a synagogue, or on a hillside, or by a lake side. The people knew they would always hear the same message, the word of God. You notice something else. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, notice the effect that the word of God had upon the people. It says they pressed upon him. They pressed upon him so much that they had to enter into one of the ships that stood by there at the lake side and use that ship as a pulpit. In other words, the ministry of the word of God, the preaching of the word, drew the people nearer to Christ. So much so that they pressed upon him. Wasn't it the same in that house that we referred to with the man who, sick of the palsy, was healed? His helpers, his friends, couldn't get into the house for the press. They were there to hear the word. And the word had drawn them to Christ. The preaching of the word, dear child of God, the preaching of God's word and all its purity will draw men to Christ. Always. Never fails. As we preached there a few weeks ago in that text, the words of the Lord Jesus, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. There it is. And here is Christ preaching the word. People are drawn to him. They wanted to hear the word. And in hearing of the word, they were drawn nearer to the Savior. We're told that there were others there at the Lake Gennesaret that day. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And so he used that ship as a pulpit. And from that ship he ministered to the people on the shore. But the Lord Jesus entered that ship for another reason. Note, Simon Peter's ship. There was another ship there at the side of the lake, but the Lord chose to enter the ship of Simon Peter. Why? Because the Lord Jesus had a message for Simon Peter that day. And not only did he enter Simon Peter's ship, he also entered Simon Peter's life that day. He changed the life of Simon Peter. Simon Peter and James and John, their lives changed forever after they met with Christ that day in the Lake Gennesaret. It was the Lord Jesus who has entered this house tonight, for we know He's here. May we, even as Simon Peter, may we have a meeting with the Lord Jesus tonight. And may we have such a meeting that our lives will be changed. Will never be the same again. I want us to consider, first of all, the Lord Jesus and His commanding of Simon Peter's ship. He uses the ship, as we've already pointed out, as a pulpit to preach the word of the Lord to the people on the shore. But we note here why He commanded the ship. The fact that He used it as a pulpit was one reason, but there was another reason. As well as ministering to those on the shore, the Lord Jesus came into that ship that day in order that He might minister to Simon, and they might minister to him, that He might reveal certain things to Simon Peter, that He might reveal to Simon Peter some things regarding Himself, and that He might reveal Himself to Simon Peter and show Simon just who He really was. Oh, believer, oh, for meetings like that. Oh, for meetings like that. Oh, for meetings that reveal to us things about ourselves. The only way we can know ourselves is when we know Christ. The only way that we can find out things about ourselves is when we find out things about the Lord Jesus. Because there in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He learned things about the Lord Jesus that day that he had never known before. And he learned things about himself that day that he had never known before. And that's what it is to have a meeting with the Lord Jesus. For when we have a meeting with Christ, and the Lord reveals Himself to us then, through that meeting He reveals things about ourselves. You remember Job? Job, that man, was known for his patience. And Job had suffered many things until Job began to pray for his friend. And we're told that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And suddenly, at that time when God turned the captivity of Job, Job said that up until that time, he'd only heard the Lord with the hearing of the ear. Then Job said, "Now I see thee." What did Job do when he saw the Lord? told that he repented in dust and ashes. And here was a perfect man. Oh, he wasn't a sinless man. The word perfect there means he was justified. He was a justified man. He was justified in the eyes of God. He was declared righteous in the eyes of God. But that day that he saw the Lord, Job saw himself. And he learned things about himself he didn't know before. And how important it is, believer, how imperative it is for us when we come to the house of God to see Christ. For it's when we see Christ that we see ourselves. Christ is the light of the world. Everyone knows when you turn the light on, maybe you think that the room is clean until the sun shines through the window and you see the dust here and you see it there and you say, I cleaned that just the other day. The light shines. That's when we see the dust on the furniture. And when we stand in the light of Christ, then we see our sin and our failures. And it has brought to our attention what we really are. That man Job repented in dust and ashes, even though he was one of the holiest men that we read about in God's Word. That's why he commanded the ship. The Lord that day was going to deal with Simon. And then we notice when he commanded the ship. For we are told in verse 2 that the Lord Jesus had been standing by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now there was a great congregation of people that the Lord ministered to that day. But the Lord Jesus came into the life of Simon Peter. He came into the ship of Simon Peter when everything was at a standstill. Isn't that what it says? He saw two ships standing by the lake. Simon Peter and James and John had been fishing all night. Now that part of their work was over. Their ships were at a standstill. They were washing their nets, making preparation to go out again, making preparation for their next fishing trip. And for Simon Peter, everything was at a standstill. The ship was empty. The nets were empty. But they labored all night and caught nothing. And since they labored all night and caught nothing, in many ways their hearts were empty. They toiled and labored, but after a night of toiling and laboring, there was nothing to satisfy. They didn't have the joy or the pleasure of having brought in a great catch of fish. So there was emptiness all around and everything was at a standstill. Look at what it says. We're told that they had labored all the night. In verse 5, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled not just all night. We have toiled all the night. It's as if Simon Peter is saying, this has been a terrible night. It's been a night of disappointment. It's been a night of despair. We have toiled all the night. There they were, ready to go out again, wondering would it be another night wasted. It was just then the Lord entered the life of Simon Peter. Just then that the Lord entered the lives of James and John. And how often has the Lord come to us just at that time when we have gone through the night of disappointment. We have gone through the night in which we have toiled and toiled and nothing to show for it at the end of the night. But look there at verse 1 again. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by. Ships were standing by, and we read Jesus stood by. He'd watched the disciples, the future disciples, Peter and James and John. He'd seen their empty nets. He'd seen their empty ships. He had seen the disappointment in their faces because he was standing by. Why isn't it good? When we have had a similar experience to that of Peter, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. We've hoped to have seen some prayer answered, some soul saved. But instead, the ship is empty and the net is empty. But glory to God, Jesus has been standing. Not even during those nights of disappointment and despair. Of course, near the end of the Lord's sojourn upon earth, there was another incident very similar to the one that we're just reading about in John 21. This time, the Lord's at the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias. Simon Peter's there and he's returned to the fishing. And once more they've gone fishing and they've labored all night and they've caught nothing. But we read those wonderful words in verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. When the morning was now come, the Son of Righteousness had risen with healing in his wings. They had been through the night. It was Christ who brought the day. And for Simon Peter and the other disciples that were with him, it was the dawn of a new day. Because it was that morning that the Lord said to Simon Peter, come and dine. It was there that Simon Peter and the others were restored to fellowship with Christ. And the Lord said to Simon Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. It was the dawn of a new day. It was a new chapter in Simon Peter's life. And here is a new chapter in Simon Peter's life, this time at the Lake of Gennesaret. They toiled all night, caught nothing, but the Lord Jesus is standing by. Then we have the word of command in the ship. The Lord first of all told Simon Peter, verse 3, thrust out a little from the land. Thrust out a little from the land. This was for the purpose of ministering to the people on the shore. He, of course, did not want Simon Peter to take his ship too far from the land because the Lord was ministering to the people on the land. They were there to hear the word of God. But then he said something else to Simon Peter, verse 4, Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, when he left speaking to the people on the shore, he turns his attention to Simon, and he says, launch out into the deep. Now, he was to go out a little further. Simon Peter was going to be taught many things that day by the Lord Jesus. And what the Lord was going to do for Simon meant that he had to go out into the deep. And we've already pointed out, Simon that day would learn something about himself, and he would learn something more about the Lord Jesus, and that could only be learned when he went out into the deep with Christ. Dear child of God, we want to know more about the Lord. And in knowing more about the Lord, learning more about ourselves, we need to go out into the deep. It's not enough to stand on the shore. We need to go out into those waters that are deep enough to swim in. We need to get deeper into prayer and deeper into Bible study. We need to get deeper into the Word. We need to launch out into the deep. Many professing believers are content just to stand on the shore. They never get into the deep waters. The deep waters of a learning experience. But for Simon Peter to learn about Christ, he had to launch out into the deep. Because the Lord has turned his attention away from the multitudes, and now he's turned his attention to Simon Peter. He's going to teach Simon Peter. That had to be done out in the deep. Notice also Christ. Not only did he command the ship, we see Christ here in command of the seas. The one who commanded the ship was the sovereign Lord who commanded the seas. Simon Peter and the others had toiled all night, caught nothing. They were relying and depending upon their skill as fishermen, drawing from experience. But that day that Christ stepped into the ship of Simon Peter, the commander of the seas was in the ship. And we see, first of all, Simon Peter addressed by Christ. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He spoke personally to Simon. For he was going to do a great thing for Simon. He had a word for Simon after his toiling all night and catching nothing. He had a word for Simon at a time when everything was at a standstill. No believer, that ought to be our prayer. When we go up to the house of the Lord and we've had maybe a week of disappointments. We've had a night of toiling and catching nothing. As we go up to the house of the Lord, let us do so and say, Lord, have a word for me. I believe with all of my heart, if we pray, Lord, have a word for me this Sabbath day, I believe you'll not be disappointed. The Lord will answer that prayer and he'll have a word for you. Has that not been our testimony time and time again? Have we not gone to the house of God and afterwards said, the Lord had a word for me
That was the right word. I just needed that.
Well, he had a word for Simon. He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He said, let down your nets. The same nets. The nets they had used the night before. The nets they had used the night before in their fishing expedition. The nets they had used. The nets that had returned empty. Use the same nets. He didn't say to Simon Peter, oh, what you need are new nets. Just use the same nets. Of course, that's what we hear today, isn't it? We need to adopt new methods. We need to have a new plan. We need new nets. Dear child of God, the old gospel net has stood the test of time. Glory to His name, will continue to use the old nets. The old, old story. It may be old, but bless God, it's ever new. The old story, the old message, the old gospel that needs to be preached. And the Lord said, I'll take those nets and I'll use those. Whatever we have, believer, the Lord will take them and He'll use them. Didn't He take the loaves and the fishes from the hand of a child? And in the Lord's hands, He was able to feed more than 5,000 people, little as much when God is in them. Simon Peter and the others had toiled all night, caught nothing, but now they were going out on another fishing expedition. Only the difference was this time God was in it. The master of the seas was in control. And the Lord said to Simon, take those nets. That was the word He had for Simon. Let down. Simon's answer to Christ. Verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. After the Lord spoke to Simon, Simon answers and he says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken. First thing Simon did was to tell the Lord all about his disappointments. He toiled all night, Lord, and we've taken nothing. It's good to be able to tell the Lord all about our disappointments. Remember, He's the one who's always standing. Simon Peter told him all about his disappointments. But then you notice Simon Peter's doubts. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. Nevertheless, I will let down the net. One net. There's his doubts. His doubts can be seen in the fact that he only let down one net. He didn't believe. He didn't believe the Lord could fill all the nets he had in the ship. And so he thought to himself, I better just let down one net. You know, we say,
we believe God answers prayer. But how often does doubt creep in? And even as we're praying for something, that awful doubt is at the back of our minds. Better not let down two nets. I'll just be on the safe side. I'll just let down one.
I better not ask too much. I'll just ask for something small.
Simon Peter said he would obey the word of the Lord. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. But he didn't take the Lord at his word after all. That's what we were considering this morning, taking the Lord at his word. And as the Lord says to us, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Let's take God at his word.
Not only do you have Simon's doubts,
you've also his dullness. I think there was a dullness on the part of Simon that morning.
Look again. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, Simon Peter decided to let down one net because he didn't believe the Lord could fill all the nets.
But he hadn't been listening.
I believe Simon was dull of hearing. On that particular occasion, he wasn't listening to what the Lord said. Look at what the Lord said in verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Yes.
But he didn't end there.
He said, let down your nets for a draught. In other words, the Lord was saying to Simon Peter, let down your nets, and I guarantee they'll be filled.
I don't believe Simon heard that little bit for a draft. The Lord was guaranteeing Simon Peter that he would catch fish. And if the Lord said, let down your nets, he was guaranteeing that all the nets would be filled. Dear Simon, and he was so filled with doubt that he didn't just catch what the Lord said. He maybe heard but didn't pay any attention to when the Lord said, let down your nets for a draught. The Lord tells us to let down the nets for a draught of fishes. Let us make sure we let down the nets.
Because they were able to fill the net. The Lord filled the net. And out of that one net being filled, they were able to fill both ships. Now that begs the question. What would have happened if they had let down both nets? See how they missed out by only letting down one net. They missed out. They could have caught so much more. We miss out when we don't obey the Lord and His Word. We miss out when we don't take the Lord at His Word. And if He has promised, He will keep. Then you have his description. For we notice there, again in verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Notice how he described the Lord. Look at the title he gave the Lord. He called him Master. if he's master, he's master of all. If he's master of the seas. If he's master of the ship. He's master of the fish in the sea. He made the seas. He created the fish. He's master of all. Oh, may we recognize him as master of all. And if we call him master, if we address him as master, then he indeed will do and is able to do whatsoever we ask of him. He is omnipotent. Not one fish that the Lord wanted in that net could escape the net. Christ is in control of all things. He is omnipotent, so what was it to him to fill two nets? What was it to him to fill six nets? What is it to the Lord to fill this house with souls? What is it to the Lord to give us Port Hope? What is it to the Lord to send us revival? For he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power? Our power? Not on your life. According to the power that worketh in us, God's power, heavenly power, divine power, omnipotent power. That's the power that works. And then you have Simon and his astonishment to Christ. Verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. One net. Oh, what fish they missed by not obeying the Lord and letting down both nets. Simon Peter was astonished. You know, this shows us the grace of the Lord. Here Simon, the Lord told him to let down the nets. Simon didn't. He only let one down one net. His faith was very limited. Often the Lord upbraided the disciples for their little faith, sometimes for no faith at all. Simon Peter had little faith, and yet the Lord rewarded that little faith by filling the one net that he let down. There's grace. Dearly beloved, if we exercise even a little faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed, God will honor our little faith. Does that not encourage them to exercise to ask great things of God? If he honors a little faith, he'll honor great faith. And then you have Christ. He's in control of the ship. He's in control of the seas. Now you have Christ in control of his servants. The Lord had already met with these disciples. He had already called them. He called them by Galilee, Matthew 4, verse 19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But here they are by the lake of Gennesaret, and they still have the nets in their hands. They haven't let go of the nets. They haven't become full followers of the Lord. They haven't become his disciples as yet.
still at the fishing. They needed to let go of the nets. We notice here regarding the Lord and taking control of His servants, notice their partners, verses 7 and 10. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Who were the partners? So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Verse 10. So we know who his partners were. James and John. They had shared in Simon Peter's disappointments the night before. They had been with Simon Peter toiling all night, and after the night of toil had caught nothing. They had shared in his disappointments. Now they're able to share in his delights, because their ship was filled. What a blessing it is to be in the family of God. To be in this family here, in this place, in the Toronto Road. What a blessing it is to be in this family. Where we're able to share one another's disappointments. We're also able to share in one another's delight. Sharing one another's disappointments, and then when one is specifically blessed, we all rejoice. We rejoice in the blessing of the Lord upon someone else. May that always be the case. May we weep with those who weep. May we be able to laugh with those who laugh. And rejoice with those who rejoice. Simon Peter, James and John. How often do we read about those three disciples in the Gospel? Here they are, they're beginning to gather. They have filled their ships that day with the fish. You know something? That was only the beginning. Only the beginning for Simon, Peter, James, and John. They would see even greater things done. Why, they would see the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Why, they would be with the Lord in Gethsemane. And they would be with the Lord in the house of Jairus. They would see the Lord raise the dead. Oh, that day at the Lake of Nazareth was only the beginning. There's nothing like serving the Lord. When you serve the Lord and see what the Lord is able to do, why, it's only the beginning. Greater things ahead. So you have the partners, and then you have the prayer. In verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Simon Peter saw it. He saw what had taken place. And he remembered his lack of faith, his disobedience, his doubts. He saw it all. He confessed, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. Why didn't I take thee at thy word? Why didn't I believe thee? I'm a sinful man." Did you note the words of Simon? He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Remember what we said at the beginning? Simon Peter learned many things about himself. He learned many things about the Lord that day. verse 5, he called him Master. And now in verse 8, he calls him Lord. He's learned. He's learned about Christ. May we learn about ourselves. And we will learn about ourselves through Christ. The more we learn about Christ, the more we learn about ourselves. And you have the promise. In verse 10, so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I guarantee Simon Peter took the Lord at his word this time. Had the Lord not already said to Simon, let down your nets for a draught? Had he not said to Simon, let down your nets and you will catch fish? Simon doubted and he only let down one net. But now when the Lord says to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I'm sure that time Simon believed. He had already been tested. He had already learned by taking the Lord at His word. And if the Lord said from that point on, Simon Peter would catch men, from that point on, Simon Peter would be a soul winner. I'm sure Simon Peter that time believed the Lord. And my, what a soul winner Simon Peter turned out to be. 3,000 in the day of Pentecost. Added to the church. The Lord tells us in His Word that He will fulfill a promise. Let us take Him at His word. And then the path. We read in verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Now, Simon is under the Lord's control. You think of it. That would have been the most difficult time of all to follow Christ. It would have been easier to follow Christ when the nets were empty and the ship was empty. And everything was at a standstill. It was more difficult to follow Christ now because the ships were filled with fish. Simon Peter could easily have said, oh, I'm not following Christ now. This is too good. We've had a great night or a great day of fishing. We've filled our ships. Let's go back again. Let's do some more fishing. Sometimes that's how the Lord works. That's how the Lord works. He puts us to the test. And He calls us when things are maybe going well. He calls us to forsake all. So it was with Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was standing by the wayside begging. Probably the best day of begging he ever had because there was a multitude of people. And that was the day the Lord gave him his sight and his begging day. Became a follower of the Lord. And for Simon Peter and the others, James and John, that was the day they forsook all and followed Him. I could put a title to the message tonight, I would call it the necking of a disciple. It was a necking of Simon Peter. The necking of a disciple. May we, like Simon Peter, forsake all and follow him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal, loving, and gracious God, we thank Thee for those men who were challenged by what they saw that day in Gennesaret, and how Simon was rebuked for his unbelief and his doubts, and how, Lord, he was challenged by taking the Lord at His word. O gracious Father, we pray Thou will help us. Thou hast been teaching us today to do that very thing. Help us, Lord, to simply rest and stand on the promises of God. And O gracious Lord, make us all, make every one of us here fishers of men. Even, Lord, as Thou didst say, follow me and I will make you. Lord, make us fishers of men. Make us disciples. True disciples of Thine. Write the word on our hearts. And may we meditate upon it. And, O Lord, we pray that as we leave the house of God tonight, this place of worship, this place of fellowship, may we go home rejoicing and go home in safety with Thy gracious hand upon us. And, O Lord, keep us till we meet again in the Lord's house. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.